Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Russell Wilson also dealing with calf issues.
He's fat. Lose some weight. You go to a new team and you're not ready because of give. Lose some weight, man. I'm looking at him. He looks like bottom heavy. And I can talk.
Steiny and Guru, give me the meat. You know who we are. Some news about Christian McCaffrey, because we haven't talked a lot of Niners this week because of the Posey stuff. But if you haven't heard, McCaffrey's dealing with some tendonitis in both both legs, both ankles. And, I mean, I think it's a foregone conclusion that he's not going to play in October because of the procedure he got in Germany and maybe this second injury. But Trent Williams, everybody's greatest tackle of all time, he has a message to Niner fans.
All right.
And coming up in 10 minutes, we're going to get into the Purdy prognosis, which we do weekly. But here's Trent Williams. Hey, Niner fans, just, hey, long way to go.
Understandably, you got concerns. You know, in my mind, we have a long way to go. This season is definitely a marathon, not a sprint. There's anything that we've learned with these previous three seasons that, this is a very long season and a lot can happen. You know, obviously, we don't have control over the injury bug, but, you know, you'd rather get bit early than late. You know, obviously not having Christian it hurts as an offense, but, we do have confidence that he'll be back, and then, you know, when he is back, he'll be as fresh as ever. Hopefully, we'll be heading, you know, trying to go on our run to play the type of football we know we need to play to get to where we want to get to.
Don't you get it? No, don't you see what's happening here?
No, man.
This is a team that has been deep 2 years in a row, and they're banged up a little bit to start the season.
Achilles tendonitis is not banged up.
No, it's...
Yeah, to your best player. Now it's in whatever he's dealing with in both legs, so...
Well, let me give you a little update from Christian McCaffrey's father, who was on with Ross Tucker.
Okay.
Ross Tucker, of course, has a Ross Tucker football podcast. This is McCaffrey's father, Ed. He says, hey, tendonitis is an overtraining injury, meaning you're training too hard or you're doing too much, and it turns into tendonitis. If I would say that Christian has a weakness, it's that he sometimes has to protect himself from himself in terms of training too much and doing too much. This is the line that I really do think is an optimistic one. If you have tendonitis, you have tendonitis. I think of it as tennis elbow. You see tennis players get it, and they can't play tennis for a while until it heals up. That's what he's got in his Achilles. It started with one, then creeped into your calf, and you start overcompensating. You feel it in the other one. But it's just tendonitis. It just means it's very, very sore. So I think the goal now for the Niners is to get McCaffrey back the second half of the season. Yeah. Hang in there till then. And let's just assume he's not playing in October, which take the next four games off the board. And maybe you start thinking about week 10, which would be their ninth game. And it feels like the team is acknowledging that it's going to be a grind early. It's going to be a big grind, but if they keep their head above water, the second half of the season is going to be one where they start to build back into a Super Bowl contending team.
And I know you think I can't even scoff at that, but I got to be honest, Matt. I was thinking when I hear Achilles, I think of Durant and all that good stuff, but
hearing that, you know, reasoning or explanation of what's going on, and it's just over, you're overworking your muscles. It doesn't sound like there's a tear imminent, you know, and who knows what's going to happen. Nobody wants that. But I feel better with that explanation. Like, I guess it's just rest and he'll come back.
So the other thing about McCaffrey is his dad said, I feel comfortable saying this. There's no plan. There's no player on the planet in any sport that pays as much money to have people take care of his body than Christian. And I kind of heard this too, and I thought it was interesting. Apparently, he footed the bill to go over to Germany and have that procedure.
So he did have a procedure.
Oh, yeah. And McCaffrey paid for it himself. And there's a question about the 49ers medical staff. And Ed McCaffrey said, Christian trusts the 49ers training staff, but when the prescription is just to rest, he's going to go out and get other professional opinions from people around the world. So I think the Niners were like, look, let's just give this thing some rest. And he was like, I can't just rest. I can't. I got to go find something else that I like better than that. And I guess that's why he went to Germany, paid his own way to get there.
And I wonder how the Niners feel about that. But
I wonder.
I got a question for you.
I don't know.
If you got all those people attending to your temple, your body, wouldn't they know when you're overworking? Like, wouldn't that prevent you from overworking yourself?
Well, maybe he did it in the off season when it wasn't supervised.
Because you know who I just thought about? You're going to call me crazy with this? Mm. Tiger Woods. When he went all commando and was trying to do all the other training with, you know, like he was in the armed forces or whatnot. Navy SEALs, thank you. So I'm not saying Christian did that, but when you are spending that much on your body, you think there would be a stop sign of people to say, you know what, Steiny, you could skip this one.
Yeah, I get the sense he's a guy who, when he's working out, he feels pain. He tries to work out through it. I don't know. I also think we should probably get into a little bit of Davante Adams, who's asked out in Las Vegas. He's a receiver, pretty good one. Didn't play week four in the Raiders victory. I feel like it would just be a waste of time to say to you, should the Niners go out and try to get Davante Adams? Because you'll say, oh my God, yeah.
Well, one, I think he's a better receiver. He's older, but I think he's a better receiver than Brandon Ayuk, one. Two, I just feel like Ayuk is about to be a sideshow. Shout out to the town and the Bay Area, because that's what he's been through four games. And the fact, if this trend keeps going forward, where Juwan Jennings is putting up bigger numbers and is more reliable, and then I go to myself to video gate or short gate at practice, I got to believe, and we haven't really solved the puzzle or the riddle, what could be bothering one Brandon Ayuk, but if there's something there and I can do a swap, and I don't know what else it would take to get Davante Adams into a 49er uniform, Steiny, that would be something I would look at, because I really believe now there is something going on between Kyle and Brandon, and for the life of me, Brandon got paid, some say overpaid. I don't know what his beef could be, but Friday, my friend, I was with you, Evan too, when I watched that, I have so many questions, and I just didn't feel like that was a good relationship per se. Like, something's up.
Well, Deebo Samuel addressed that on his podcast this week. And he talked about, well, what happened between Ayuk and Kyle Shanahan? How big of a deal is it?
You know me, I kind of think, you know, they kind of blew away out of proportion than what it was, you know, what it's shown to be. But what's so crazy in the locker room, me and BA was, I seen them had the red shorts on, and I was like, we had the red jerseys. I was like, yo, this combo kind of cold. And so I was like, I went in the equipment room. I was trying to find me some red shorts at the time. And they was like, man, we don't have any more of these. So I was like, And so went out to practice. You know, him and Cal was going back and forth, blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't as serious as they was making it. But you see, he put the black shorts on, and we moved on past it, and we went out there and got the dub. So maybe it's a trend that you might see the Niners come to practice in some red shorts.
Maybe Ayuk needs to be in the red shorts every practice, because it definitely felt like the 49ers were super back this weekend.
Yeah, we was cooling.
Oh. Did it feel to you, Guru, like the 49ers were super bad?
No, young lady. I would say no to that. But I will say this. I wish it had been Debo. Then we could say there's nothing going on. You know what I mean? It was just he had the wrong ones or whatever. But now I just felt like that was Jim Leland and Barry Bonds. And
yeah,
I know,
right. Kyle wishes.
Well, but you know what I mean? Brother, you just got paid. I guess just the way Stoddy, he looked like that was infantile, the way Ayuk was acting, even when he changed his shorts.
I mean, I came in today thinking I would move Ayuk in a second for Devontae Adams. And if you got to throw in a pick, throw in a pick. Second round pick, I'd probably do that.
That's what sounds like that's what the Raiders are looking for.
But then, of course, I went a little deeper with the dive. With Evan.
What'd you come up with?
And Evan said, man, if you get Devontae Adams, he's just going to be as disgruntled here as he is in Vegas because he's not going to get the targets he wants on this offense. He just isn't. And to me, you say, well,
wouldn't that change? I'm just saying, like...
You think Kyle Shanahan would change his offensive philosophy for Devontae Adams?
Brock Purdy's the one dropping back, reading it, and delivering the ball, dispersing the targets. And if you got a guy whooping somebody at the line of scrimmage more often than not, that is not, I'm throwing to Evan. I'm throwing to Steiny pre-snap.
Throwing to Devontae Adams?
No, I'm just saying if he's open... You keep feeding the beast, and that's why we see games like a couple weeks ago from Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, you've got to agree with the premise that he's not going to get the ball as much as he wants the way the 49ers run their offense.
And I do wonder about him, Stoddy, Devontae Adams. Where is he at in his career to where if he gets moved – because he didn't come off well to me in the receiver, Doc. You could tell he was trying to get out of Dodge or get out of that situation. I mean, how many more stops do you have before you – if he were to bitch about his targets? I mean, you should be. It should be about winning. And if they were able to get his services – again, I'm not saying the target issue wouldn't come up, but, I mean, it kind of feels like the rat's on the table with Devontae. Are you really going to complain about your lack of targets? But my thing is, if I'm Brock Purdy and I got him out there doing what he's been doing, I'm just throwing to him, but you'll eat.
But I think you asked what you think's going on with Ayuk. I think he doesn't like his role. He doesn't like his role. How could he?
Yeah, but he had a chance to go get a bigger role somewhere else.
But see, I think
he didn't
want
to go.
I think he knew that he wasn't in. Pittsburgh doesn't have a throwing quarterback. Maybe that's why the Patriots are pathetic. Maybe he wanted to be somewhere else, but the places that they were going to send him, he just didn't want to be.
Have we ever seen an athlete get paid?
Yes.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Steven Jackson.
That happened.
Yeah.
But outside of him, where you get paid and you're still disgruntled. Like you won the negotiations, but you're still mad.
I mean, Draymond Green got a big contract and punched the guy and then got suspended the year after. I don't know. I mean, it happens. It happens. I mean, look at Jordan Poole. Not the same situation, but got paid and then they traded him a year later. I think yes, there's something going on with Brandon Ayuk.
That I truly believe, man.
All right, let's get into it. Let's get into the Purdy prognosis.
Mm-hmm. We've had two nights to sleep on Brock's performance.
Here's Purdy, takes off and goes head first for 10, leading by 6. Purdy protected, floats it for Kittle. Kittle with a catch in out across the 35. Play action, Purdy, use check, the catch, first and goal.
Now it's time for Steiny and Guru to break the huddle and deliver their pretty prognosis.
All right. First, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. And I think that there is one reason to be more optimistic about the Niners than any of the negativity that's happened so far, and it's because of Brock Purdy. Mm. I think he's been their best player this year.
Man.
If it's not him, it's Fred Warner or Jordan Mason. But, I mean, if you think about Purdy's performance the first 4 weeks, if he continues to do this and they start winning, I mean, he's going to be in the MVP conversation. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
No doubt. And I'll say this to that, Steiny. He was in the MVP conversation last year. I'm watching these games again, man. The guy is throwing the ball downfield. He wants to throw the ball downfield. He's using his legs, and he's becoming must-watch, Steiny. So you're right. What do we say? Oh, the most important position in sports is the quarterback position. I really believe that. And this dude is following up a season where he took his team to the Super Bowl with a new elbow, and it looks like he's getting stronger, but he's getting more confident. So you know what I did, Steiny? I said, okay, what's really going on here? Because there is draftism going on with Brock Purdy where people want to see more.
Is this your stat?
Yeah, this stat.
All right. Guru's been talking about this for 2 hours. He says he's got a Purdy stat that's going to blow us away.
So who's the best in the game at the quarterback position right now? I think all of us would agree, one, Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
Right? So can I give you some numbers and you tell me what you think after?
Okay.
But these are the last 20 NFL games. Patrick Mahomes, want to know his record? 14-6.
Okay.
Brock Purdy's record, 14-6.
Okay.
All right. In those 20 games, the passing yards, Patrick Mahomes, 5,087 passing yards. Brock Purdy, 5,410 yards. Okay. Touchdowns, Brock Purdy, 36-33 for Patrick Mahomes. Interceptions, Patrick Mahomes, 19, Brock Purdy, 13. Passer rating in those 20 games, Brock Purdy, 111, Patrick Mahomes, 92. And yards per pass attempt, which we, dink and dunk, Patrick Mahomes, 7.1 to Brock Purdy's 9.6. So I know it's only 20 games, Steiny, but what I'm watching, I believe, is a guy in Brock Purdy about to sign a blank check next year, and it's 4 games, they're 2-2. You don't put it all at his doorstep, but he knows and has command of the position, brother. And I'm just telling you, I don't think it's going to vanish, or he has to return the glass slippers anytime soon.
What if, can I just bring Evan in here for a sec and just ask him this? Okay, 20 games. Yeah, I get it. It's not a huge sample size, but it's more than a season. So you've just given me 6 stats. Purdy's got more yards. Purdy's got more touchdowns. Purdy's got fewer interceptions. Purdy's got higher yards per pass. Purdy's got
passer
a better
rating.
Passer rating. Why can't we just say it? Evan, Purdy's been better than Mahomes over the last 20 games.
Because he lost to him in the Super Bowl?
Okay, that's, but 20 regular season games.
Yeah, sure.
But I was going to say, because I know how Evan is very smart. Evan, my thing going against me, if you put Mahomes in this offense, which he's had more at his disposal, Brock Purdy has, than Mahomes with his L in offense, maybe that might have something to do with it too. You know what I'm saying? If you put Mahomes with this weaponry,
yes.
Good God. Not taking away from Brock. I'm just Brock is becoming must watch,
how
man.
How much better?
Oh, Steiny.
What?
We're not ready for that, are we? On the Purdy prognosis.
I mean, do you think if the Patrick Mahomes were the starting quarterback of the Niners, they'd be 4-0? I don't.
I'd give you 3-1.
They would have beaten the Vikings?
They would have scored on that. They would have scored on that last drive when they were down 6 against many.
Mahomes would have thrown a ball better than Purdy did to Ronnie Bell.
Respect on it. He's the best at the position right now.
Well, no, he's not.
Well,
numbers.
No, but I'm being real with you. That blew me away with that. But I just don't. Brock Purdy's not at Patrick Mahomes level yet.
415, this is why individual stats ultimately don't mean everything in a team sport. And that's from our main man, Jim Mole.
Our guy.
Jim Mole, who
But it's pretty impressive.
Yes.
Are you willing to call Brock Purdy a star right now? I think he's going to be quarterback in the the Pro Bowl's done, but you know, like he's going to. He's on his way, man. Jared Goff.
Well, how about this? Give me other quarterbacks who you think are stars in the NFL, not Brock Purdy, and then I'll tell you if I think he belongs in that group.
Well, we'll start with Patrick Mahomes, okay. Josh Allen,
all right,
Jared Goff,
okay, Stafford,
Joe Burrow is not. Herbert? I love Burrow. Yeah, Herbert is.
I think he's in that group.
There's no doubt. And when you go to a Super Bowl, Steiny, and you take your team,
Lamar Jackson,
yeah, but I wouldn't. Oh boy. You know, I'm down on Lamar, Steiny. I know he's good, but in postseason, it doesn't work.
Well, it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked yet.
Yeah.
I think the way we throw star around in football, especially for quarterbacks, yes, he's a star. Brock Purdy right now is a star.
What about the component of, how much is he going to get paid? Right now, wouldn't you say Brock Purdy's doing, forget the number.
Okay.
He's doing everything he possibly can to get whatever number's coming that way.
The bottom line is the way I look at Brock Purdy is right now he's about a $32 million quarterback.
I feel like that's short.
It is short.
Oh, yeah. I sounds like you're smiling.
He's
playing, man.
He knows what he's doing. He's got a grasp of the offense. This is what I disagree with. Somebody says 925. Come on, Steiny. Mahomes would be 4-0 right now with the Niners. Well, then we're ignoring the biggest thing we talked about for 3 weeks, which we said was their biggest problem, and that's defense. I don't necessarily think you'd be 4-0 with Patrick Mahomes. It's a hypothetical, but I think Purdy's. Boy, he's done about as much as you could ask him to do, right?
Using his legs. And I don't know, there was something in the Athletic. I forgot who wrote it. I should know. But he's holding the ball 3.1 seconds from getting the ball and releasing it.
Brock Sounds Curry. Like a Matt Barrows in any league.
And that's the longest of holding of the ball from all quarterbacks this season.
Purdy?
Yeah. And I don't know if that's a good thing, Steiny. If he, you know, trying to wait for stuff to develop, guys aren't getting open or separation, you can make with that what you want. But I'm watching him, and I'm worried about him, Steiny.
Well, now you're worried about him?
No, I'm just worried. His health, like he's running for his life.
He's running for first downs.
Yeah, man.
What great ones do.
Leading the league in passing.
I can't do
five
this.
Five touchdowns to two interceptions. I'm giving him his flower. That's what I'm doing.
So you're worried.
Because they can't afford
about to. Dak Prescott getting hurt?
Sometimes I wish he'd get hurt, but I didn't mean that. But a little bit.
Just a tweet.
No, with everything that's going on in the water over there.
That has
Santa
nothing
Clara,
to do with anything.
Yeah, I do. When I see him run, I'm like, oh boy, get down. And then he don't do the old Russell Wilson baseball slide.
That's no different than any other team.
He'll do the old, you know, I'm a stretch, and then my back. He was.
You need to, you know what? Pick a new sport to like. Because if you don't, if you worry like this,
WNBA.
If you worry like this, you're not enjoying yourself. And this should be fun. But you're worried.
I'm worried about Purdy.
Sundays.
Purdy. Who's going to make the sidelines?
Saturdays.
No.
This, our life, we're cheating life.
You, Evan, I'm
coming
earning
in here
a paycheck.
Every day.
I come through the elevator doors. Forget Arsenio Hall or Johnny Carson. We're talking sports. We got WNBA playoffs, baseball playoffs.
We talked a lot about
Niners,
both those.
Warriors in Hawaii.
Yeah.
It's too much, but it's all fun. And it's our job to cover it and talk about it.
I don't like the word cover. We don't cover anything.
We cover observe. The Warriors.
We don't cover the Warriors.
We were just at Media Day.
If you covered the Warriors, you'd be in Lahaina right now, or whatever the hell they are.
Well, you dropped the ball on that.
Well.
I'm mad, too, the more I think about it.
Why don't you get on to Hegan for going in a different direction?
There's a lot of people in Hawaii with the Warriors covering them. What? I thought we were going.
Why would you think that?
You were supposed to hook something up.
I've been there. I've done that. I don't need to do it. Let's get to Dom. Dom's in San Leandro. Oh, we're going to push Dom. Oh, gotcha, Evan. I gotcha. Somebody get Tim Jordan on the phone.
The math. I got you.
We got 90. Oh.
I'm fired up, man.
About what?
Just the sporting scene right now.
There was no games last night. Look, what could you be fired up about?
There was two great WNBA games and four baseball games.
Okay. What do you say we talk about that and lose listeners left and right?
You don't know when we lose them or gain them. Please.
What'd Becky Hammond say after the game? Apparently she went off.
She's been in a bad mood, man. The beautiful Becky Hammond.
Don't do that.
What?
We're past that. That's 1970s commentary.
Saying some wow.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You sound like Archie Bunker.
Why
right
don't
now.
You say the intelligent Becky Hammond?
Okay, I gotta get it.
Or the
feisty
competitive.
Because she was hot, burning timeouts last night.
She was angry.
That meant hot. Help your boy out. Well, you know what I'm saying.
All right. Yeah. We're talking about expectations, and should they change for the Niners? I say no. And also, we're talking Warriors and San Francisco Giants. Also, coming up at 1 o'clock, Sounds of the Week. Yeah. Evan's done it again.
He's the man.
Evan's done it again with some of the best sound from around the NFL. We will do that at 1 o'clock. But right now, at 12:12, I'm going to read you, download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
If this thing doesn't get right, it's Michael Jackson. Who was the lead singer of the Beatles?
John Lennon.
John Lennon.
Now back to Steiny and Guru. Take it away, Steiny.
Just to give 49er fans a little perspective, Darius Robinson, defensive end. Robinson's calf will not be designated to return. As you know, Darius Robinson on the injured list for the injured reserve for the Cardinals. He will not play this weekend. Their super tight end, Trey McBride. They call him the Cardinals' George Kittle. Gannon said he's in concussion protocol, so he's questionable.
Stop it.
Let me tell you this. Kyrus Tonga, questionable. Jonah Williams, injured reserve. Justin Jones, injured reserve. Elijah Jones, injured reserve.
So what?
Christian Jones.
Thank you, Fitz.
Right. So the Cardinals, just for accuracy's sake, they're more injured than the Niners.
Yeah, but they're not missing their McCaffrey defense, too. And yeah, didn't talk about 54 with an ankle. We saw on TV, SportsCenter let off. Like, he's ready. You laughed when you saw that.
They didn't lead off with it. You just happened to look at that time.
Stop it. Hey, real quick, we got a P1 happy birthday. Izzy loves the show. Watched the A's game with Evan and I when we went to see Ohtani. So happy birthday, Izzy.
Oh, it's his birthday.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Let's go to Dom and San Leandro. He's got some news for us, apparently, and it'll be pertinent to you, Goo.
Dom.
Hey, Dom. What's up?
It's Tom, but that's okay.
All right, Tom. Sorry about that.
I wanted to do, and just to add to Guru's touring events, ESPN Game Day coming to Cal for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Oh. A huge feather in the cap for Cal, turning around the football program. 3-1 in their new conference, yeah, playing Miami.
Lost a winless Florida State.
All of the ESPN bigwigs are going to be out here. So, yeah.
Hey, are you going? So you going to be out there?
No, you know what? My daughter plays high school volleyball for Bishop O'Dowd, and we're going to the Nike Invitational.
That's dope.
For the top 100 teams in the country. Ooh. So I'll be going to Mesa, Arizona.
Wow, listen to you.
Well,
yeah.
I love you some volleyball, man.
So you and I are both Bishop O'Dowd fathers.
Yeah, oh, there you go. You know what? And I think, Steiny, I worked with your mom at FedEx for a few years.
FedEx?
Yeah, probably
some. Your mom works
Thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate the call. No, mom's retired.
She's a school teacher.
She wasn't.
And not many Steinmetz.
She also was a college professor.
Yeah,
not a school teacher. And she taught second grade. No, she taught English literature at a university.
Man said, and I love you, FedEx.
Small college, same thing.
I just pictured you for FedEx. Yeah, that's another Steinmetz running around.
Well, it's about deliverables. We know that. Evan, Chardall,
Oh, my baby, my darling. Am I going to embarrass you now with all your fans out there?
She does know I have a lot of fans.
Yeah,
though,
she's so a fan.
Jardal. Jardal in Fremont. What's up, Jardal?
Hey, Stan and Guru, it's great to be on the show. I love you guys. Love everything you do on here.
Thanks.
As a draft center, I'm so excited that we fired for our anxiety and hired Buster Posey, man. I think this guy's a legend. I think this guy's going to lead part of the ownership group. This guy's going to be great next year, man. I'm really hoping for it, man. But I love this guy. I wear his jersey everywhere I go, man. This guy's an icon, man. Like straight up an icon, man. I love him.
Wow.
He's great.
No, that's good. Straight that's up what icon.
He's a legend, man. Like how can you not like Buster Posey? Like, he's a straight up legend.
Wow. Thanks a lot, Chardall.
Hands down. That's called in the game.
Thanks. Hand down, man down.
No, that's Mark Jackson. Stoddy, that's PR. That's what you get. He's excited, man.
I will say this about Posey, and I've said this earlier.
He's 37.
What? If this hire would have been made in any other city, we would look at it and say, what a joke.
No, how old was Kyle when he took the job?
That's a head coach.
Mm.
I don't know that.
He'd also been in the NFL since he was like 22.
Yeah, go.
That's my Kyle's brother.
Kyle's got pedigree. No, he does.
Well, he's got no rings. I love Kyle. I love his daddy. I was rooting for his daddy.
I know what I wanted to get into.
Oh, boy.
Actually, you guys don't want to revisit it yesterday. It was a little awkward coming out of the boss's office.
Because you were being a horse's butt.
No, I wasn't. I was watching. I wasn't even in on it.
Oh, what?
When you and Evan got awkward.
No, and
I was on Evan's side on this one.
That's my brother, my little brother. That's my little brother. We were talking about Bob Melvin.
And he got mad because you had the audacity to say,
quit stirring the pot here.
And he did get mad.
He did get mad.
We have a way of talking to each other to where, see, that's why you don't know us.
No, I know you, and I know he was upset.
No,
why did he text me then?
Now that hurts if you can show me the text.
No, he didn't.
Evan knows it.
He tried to.
No, conversations or disagreements can never get mad.
So you think Melvin's a bad manager?
No.
What happened in San Diego with Melvin?
Listen, my judgment of a manager or coach is how you forget the X's and O's. Huh. Melvin's already good. But when you're trying to get to the penthouse of coaches, I need Jimmy Johnson. I need the Bochis, the guys that can deal with the people problems. And I thought Melvin left a little meat on the bone with the Padres, and maybe he didn't get along with the Latin players. Oh. Maybe there was a disconnect. I don't know, but they overthrew him, and that's why he got relieved, I believe. I know he didn't get along with the GM, but now look what the Padres did with no Melvin, and I love Melvin. So Evan and I had a great. I was awesome. I wanted to continue it after you left, and the boss.
We didn't want to continue because it was getting contentious.
Oh, stop over Melvin.
No, actually, you just wanted to leave.
Yeah, no, and you left too.
Bye bye.
You shared your little pea brain ideas and then left. I'm like, this dude's incredible. Oh man. Evan, I love my. That's my guy.
Now this is it just harkened back to Evan knows the Padres. That's his team. He watches them all the time.
Yes.
Well, my other team left. So.
But you can, you know, you have your finger.
Did you
on
turn
the
that game on last night?
You have
it
your
was
finger
a
on the
party.
So that's the Padres now. You have the finger of the pulse on their organization and Philadelphia. You know, inside and out.
No, hey. I'm not one of those dudes. I'm just saying, I like Melvin, but damn, that should be his team he's managing right now, taking the field against the Braves.
Stiney came down my road yesterday, too, after the show.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I did. Well, actually, I'm glad you didn't take me up on it.
I must have been in the restroom.
No, you were gone. Oh. No, I invited Evan out for one yesterday.
He's been hitting the gym.
I know. And then I got to go lift. Yeah. And I'm like, I got 12 ounces you can lift here.
That wasn't what I was talking about, though.
Yeah. Oh, you weren't?
Yeah, it was about Willy Adames.
Oh, yeah. Willy Adames.
Who's second available base. And Kim?
Awesome. Ostensibly, he's available.
Stein said he let me off the hook.
Okay. Why would Adames, I don't know if you know this, but in Milwaukee, they have shirts. We own the Central. Three out of 4 years they won that division. They ain't. Willie Adames is not saying, "Yeah, I want to go to. I'm going to go to San Francisco to help out Buster Posey because he's a really good catcher from 15 years ago." You ain't getting Adames.
More nuanced than that,
Stoney. No, it's actually not. You're not a winner yet.
Well, you better win with Blake Snell because he's going to be like, why do I want to stay here after year one? You guys sold me on we'd be playing postseason baseball, $200 million payroll. And guess what? I was a part of getting off to a rough start. But my goodness, Buster, you guys got to keep him here. If you got a 1-2
punch. He's on this one, boy.
No, if you got a 1-2 punch of
notice I said boy to Evan. Yeah. I didn't say
I was like, hey, now you threw me off.
Well,
because you're in a zone, a little bit of a zone. Which is a good thing.
No, look, my views.
This fish is stinking from the head.
Which fish, priest?
Oh man,
is he talking about the Niners, the Warriors,
the Warriors? Because that's what it was about. Let me just throw something at you.
Okay, please.
Steve Kerr's biggest challenge this year. I got my answer.
Okay, start us.
If you don't know who your starting five is. That is not good for anybody in Warrior Land. And it's not a Steve Kerr issue. It's a sign of the times. You're in the West. Let me tell you who knows their starting five. Houston, Memphis, the Lakers.
Houston does not know their starting five.
Steiny, stop. They're on the come, though. Come on, man. Like, you're really trying to take down Minnesota? You're really
trying? No, you're not. You're not there yet. Stop thinking you're there. That's the second best team in the West. You were 10. Stop thinking they're a two.
All right, what's his biggest challenge then?
Steve Kerr's biggest challenge.
It just flashed in my, you know how my brain is.
Steve Kerr's biggest challenge.
Coming into this.
It's going to be the push. Oh, this is, I got it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The biggest challenge will be the challenge that he's faced in the past. His biggest challenge is how he will deal with being torn between the young guys and the old guys again. We're going to have to revisit that theme because I can tell you right now, Kyle Anderson, DeAnthony Melton,
yeah,
maybe even Buddy Hield if he can give him shooting, he's going to like those guys. He's going to like those guys. And it may come at the expense of Pods. May come at the expense of Moody. Mm. May come at the expense of Kuminga. May come at the expense of Trace
but
Jackson
if they're winning,
Davis.
It doesn't matter. Whoever's the odd man
out. Oh, it matters.
Not if they're winning.
No, I think people.
Like, you got to keep your mouth closed when you're winning.
Did Kuminga last year?
See, they weren't winning. They had got beat by Denver up in Denver. Remember that?
Yeah, they were 500.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. No, I do. I think they've got four young guys, Pods, Moody, Kuminga, and Trace Jackson Davis, and they brought in three veterans who all have a lot of experience. That's all. Yeah. Paul's in Oakland. Paul, what's going on, man?
Good afternoon, guys. How are we today?
Hey, dynamite.
We all right? Everything good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks for asking.
Okay, so let me flip the conversation back to the Posey hire.
You can do it.
And I want to preface that I'm not a Giants fan, but I am a sports fan.
All right.
And I think the fans have to take a look at two Dieter Kurtenbach essays that he's put out over the last couple days.
All right.
About the Posey hire, where he's couching it within the framework of a move of desperation. He openly questioned Posey's comment about we're in the business of making memories. And he kind of stated what I felt when I heard that in Posey's press conference. No, you're not in the business of making memories. You're in the business of winning games. And when you were winning games in that five-year period between 10 and 14, everything was coming up the way you wanted it to. And for whatever reason, they've gotten away from winning games, and that can be discussed and fettered out on your shows and all that. But I'm concerned that if Posey's about winning, about making memories, then they're going to continue to lag behind the Dodgers and the Padres and now the Diamondbacks in the Western Division in the NL.
Don't memories come with
Braves.
Yeah? Don't memories come with winning? Isn't that kind of a given? If you win, that's how you create memories. That's how I took that line.
Right. Well, you got to win to create memories. And nowhere in Buster's opening press conference or any of the follow-ups to that has he laid out a philosophical approach to what they're going to do, to what the priorities are going to be. It's all been, you know, kind of cute. Not a lot of substance.
Fair enough. Appreciate the call, Paul.
Took the job.
I haven't read those two stories, but I would say this. When I heard Buster Posey say, make memories, I heard win.
The championships. That's what I heard.
I just heard win. I didn't hear, you know, how can you make memories if you're a 500 team?
No doubt about
so
it.
So I didn't nitpick that at all.
I'm with you.
Now, as for his philosophy, I'm willing to say he doesn't have one.
He's in the lab.
He has no philosophy right now. Yeah. I mean, we know what he's got an idea.
Yeah.
We know what his hoped for philosophy is.
You don't even have a GM.
But I don't think they have a philosophy right now. The one thing that they'll start to have if he walks into the building every day is an identity and a way of doing things that comes from the way he does things. But no, as far as, like, you know what their identity, if they go get Juan Soto, their identity is getting Juan Soto. I'm not saying they're going to do that, but who knows what their identity is.
Well, their identity is they need a new one. That's their identity, and the first brick to that was hiring Buster.
Well, I also
the face of it, but we can't. It's like a president day one of his 4-year term. What did you do? Well, damn, I just got in here. Let me. I'll get going.
There's we have no idea.
It's
going to be.
I get that, but
we have none.
And the rat on the table brought to you by Atco Stani. Some are going to be pessimistic about this move, and obviously that was that, and we'll see. The proof is in the pudding. And some will be optimistic, like the caller last segment, who was just incredible, just excited. But it'll all come to, we'll see. We are going to be able to judge what's going on, what's not going on. And I took that hit me in the cardiac muscle, the memories, because that's winning.
Let me tell you what's going to happen, all right? And you know I'm right on the money when I think about things like this, and I think them all the way through. The Giants are going to have a very similar team next year to this year.
Give you that.
Right. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to win more. And you know who's going to get the credit? Posey and Melvin. That's who's going to get the credit.
But that's not a bad thing. That's just kind of life.
It's still going to be mostly Farhan's team. That's what I'm saying.
The Posey lovers that loved him as a ball player are going to put it at the doorstep like he's Jesus.
But the reality will be they had the same roster this past year, and the only reason they didn't contend was because their center fielder got hurt the first week.
And then they played more button-up baseball.
Their two star pitchers didn't pitch for too long of a stretch. Their young players weren't quite ready every day. And if everybody would come back and have a great year, they're going to make the playoffs. Yeah,
And
you know what? And then the
fans
way
fans are going to be happy, though.
Right. And the way I look at it is, okay, Farhan's now made the postseason 2 times in 7 years.
You can't do that,
Gardner. I'll do it.
When he left and lost his job a year in which they didn't make it. So that's why I can't give him any credit. You're right.
So let me ask you, if the Giants make no moves this offseason and they go to the playoffs next year, how would you explain that?
Bob Melvin to come in and say dealing with Buster Posey is different than dealing with Farhan Zaidi, and he made me or forced stuff down my throat that I didn't, you know, really appreciate or I didn't believe in. Little things like that can change the outcome of games. I'm just
okay,
Steiny. I know you. This is who you are at heart, but you can't give a guy who got fired in a year, which his team didn't qualify for the postseason. New guy hired, first year out, they make the playoffs. We got to give the guy. We got to give Buster or whoever's in that position their credit.
We don't. We didn't. What's the Tampa Bay team that won the Super Bowl?
Tony Dungy.
Yeah, but it was But Gruden won it. But it was all Tony Dungy's players.
I'm not saying that doesn't exist, but the people here are going to love the king. And right now, the new king is one of their own, Buster Posey. So, Stoddy, when you do bring that point up, if it happens, you ain't going to get the fans saying, oh, Farhan, thank you. Yeah, they're going to be like, Buster did it, baby.
What I would say is the relationship with Buster that Buster Posey has with Melvin, to me, isn't going to manifest itself in more wins.
Wow. See, I wonder, man.
Yeah, I mean, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Yeah.
Because you talked about, who did you say? Who did we have on? You said, did he throw him under the crossover? I'm paraphrasing. You kind of said, did Melvin kind of throw Farhan under the bus a little bit at the end of the season in some of his with bags? He was saying a lot at the end, Stoney, and I wonder if he smelled blood.
Well, there was an article written by John Shea that came out, I think either today or yesterday, in which he talked to Melvin, and Melvin basically said he didn't have control of in late game situations.
Man, why? But we imagine that though. So here I am mad at Melvin just with the Giants, and Melvin's like, dude, that's your boy upstairs. I had no control, no Janet Jackson. So now that I have, maybe we win six or seven more games than we lost. And that could be it right there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got to check that article out too, man.
What do we got here? Let's go to Robin. Robin's
our
in
girl.
The city.
Yeah.
Hey, Robin, how you doing?
Hi. I'm fine. Hey, thank you for taking my call. I got the air conditioner on. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, real quick.
Okay, so real quick, I just want to know, did Farhan fire Dave Kepler? We won those games. Do you think he was a fall guy? You can only work with talent, and he wasn't doing his part. I think it's a shame when someone gets fired for somebody else's mess. He doesn't give you anything. I mean, I even started going back to baseball games because they were winning, and also Gabe Kepler was fine to look at. Bye, you guys.
Thanks for the call.
I love that. And he was the fall guy, Lee Majors, Donnie. He was the fall guy, and that's when I really turned on Farhan. Like, but brother got to pay bills, right? So he's going to keep his job.
See, and this is the part I can't quite explain, but I don't like it.
All right.
From the 925 on the Comcast business text line, Posey's philosophy is bringing championship pedigree back to the Giants. His culture will be about winning. His resume speaks for itself. There's something too simplistic to me about we were the Giants in 10, 12, 14, and 16.
And I was a big part of it.
And we had a way of doing things. And it was picture perfect. It was the perfect combination of an organization and a family. And we treated players well. And we brought in our alumni.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a connection to the fans. And then somebody said, we need to change. And so they changed for 6 years. And now 6 years later, we're going to say, well, let's try to get back to what did it for us 10 years ago, which, what was it?
Well, other Buster than a team, didn't say that.
But that's clearly what they're trying to do.
Well, 10, 12, why and 14 have a lot of analytics.
Why would you
to
call
me?
Brian Sabian?
And Buster said they're going to use analytics on his watch. Like, that's not going away. So when you say go back and reach back into the past, I looked at that 10, 12, 14 in those Giant teams, not heavy, not that they didn't use it at all, but it wasn't like Farhan. It wasn't speaking. And Buster, to his credit, yesterday said, we're going to use analytics. Is not going away.
Right,
so the game's evolved and changed.
Right. But I also think it's going to be like Hunter Pence is going to be on the staff. Ryan Vogelsong.
Do you not like that if that were to happen?
I'm not making a judgment one way or the other. I just think there is something that's overly simplistic about
we're going to try to get back
to 10, 12, and 14. Well, okay, what was the philosophy then?
Right.
To that you wanted to get back to.
Let your manager manage with his gut.
Okay.
And that was Bochy who did it with the best of them.
So, Melvin, this is a championship-type team, and now Melvin can manage it, and they can be better.
Like I don't know about championship or better.
I'm out on that.
So you got a manager who's telling you, or the reporter, John Shea, that he's been restricted from late game making his own decisions. Now that those shackles are off, you don't think, obviously the players got to execute, you don't think that could make Melvin a better manager?
I think it could make him a worse manager. It's possible. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
and I got something for you before we go to break.
What?
So with your mindset on the championship and who gets credit, does Mark Jackson get credit for Steve Kerr's first title?
Absolutely not.
And that would be because?
Everything changed. Nah. They changed their entire offense.
Somebody texted, and I agree with your answer, but I was like, you know what? That's a good one.
Yeah, but we just put it to rest. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. We got some people that want to talk about the Giants. And I'll be honest, I can't quite draw a line from A to B, but it does feel like, I don't know, they're trying to recapture something that just might not be there anymore.
Or create something new.
Doesn't sound like that. Sounds like they want to go back to the past. The end of summer sales event is on at Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek in Santa Clara. Now's the time to get a great deal on a new Ford car, truck, or SUV. So stop by or visit FrontierFord.com for incredible savings and drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or at FrontierFord.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app